Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 1 to 14. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 1 to 14. I will be reading from the ESV version. I will give you some time for you to refer to your Bibles so that as I read, you can follow along. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Verse 9. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goats, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond this, of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Good morning, Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. A blessed Father's Day to all fathers out there. My name is Jackson. I'm one of the pastors of the church. And today, we are taking a break from the book series of the Song of Solomon to talk about fatherhood, because after all, today is Father's Day. Coincidentally, the scripture passage that I've chosen to read today is from the book of Ecclesiastes. And the book of Ecclesiastes is also known to be written by King Solomon, just like the Song of Solomon. So we are not departing too far away from Solomon. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Dear God, we ask that you bless this time that we have together. As we listen to your word, learn from your word, may we hear you, God, not me, and that we will learn from you, not me. So God, I ask, O Lord, that you be with all of us as a church, that we'll be sitting at your feet and learning from you and listening to you. Bless this time we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now about this book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes was written or was known to be written by King Solomon. Who was King Solomon? King Solomon was the third king of ancient Israel. And Solomon, he asked God for wisdom. And because he did not ask for wealth or power, God granted Solomon's wish and gave him wisdom. But God also added wealth and power to Solomon too. And as a result, according to 1 Kings, the book of 1 Kings chapter 9, Solomon became the wisest man in the world. Unfortunately, Solomon later failed to follow God faithfully. His life became messy as he fell away from God. When he grew old, Solomon looked back his life in reflection, and he was humbled and he was repentant. And it is believed that that was when that Solomon wrote this book of Ecclesiastes. For he was a man who had everything. He had wealth, riches, material possessions. He had power, authority, kingdom, army and servants, and many wives as well. And he had wisdom and knowledge and intelligence of languages and sciences. Solomon wrote in his book, he struggles despite having it all. And in this book of Ecclesiastes, he wrote about the meaning and purpose of life. He's searching for answers. He talked about work and pleasure, life and death, of which Solomon surmised that everything is vanity. Or in his famous refrain in this book, which was repeated 29 times, he kept saying, the vanity of vanities, which means everything is fleeting, elusive, meaningless, and futile. But at the end of this book, here in chapter 12, Solomon gave his conclusive find at the end of life, much like the answer to the search for the meaning of life, if you ask me, which I will explain more later. But why do we read this book of Ecclesiastes today? Why on Father's Day? Because fatherhood is something no one can fully prepare for. There is no class to attend that teaches you how to be a good father. There is no manual to read, and no amounting of reading self-help fathering or parenting books will prepare you for the many surprises and expectations of becoming and being a father. Even if you have many children before, a new child is always different, and your fatherhood responsibilities are somehow just surprise you and springs surprises on you. Fathers are called to be the head of the household, the spiritual leader of the family. Yet, in many ways, fathers, that includes myself, are still searching for answers. And many fathers are still trying to make sense of being a father, making sense of fatherhood. And the answer to the searching of answers, I believe, lies in this book of wisdom. It may not overtly or directly mention about being fathers, but surely the wisdom that is garnered here will help us to make sense of our fatherhood. For those of us who are not fathers, the wisdom from this book is also excellent advice for us as we ponder on life's direction. Come, let us go into the first point. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Here in verse 1 of chapter 12 in Ecclesiastes, King Solomon was addressing to young men. How do I know it's young men? Because two verses before verse 1, at the end of chapter 11, verse 9, he wrote saying, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. And so, we know that he's really talking about young men, or talking to young men. Later on, he also referred to his listeners as my son. So men, do take note as you read this passage. Now, when we were young, we can remember things better. And here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, Solomon wrote, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth." When you are youth in school, we take like maybe 9 subjects, cramming the memorization of concepts and languages and terms and formulas into our young minds. And we still manage to survive through our exams. Hooray. But come old age, we may become more muddled, more preoccupied, as we worry more on our responsibilities, our work, trying to make ends meet, bringing food to the table, and caring for our family. And so, here, don't risk waiting till old, then you start to remember God, our Creator. Remember God in the days of your youth. Remember when you are young. Remember God whom we knew since we were young. Brothers, do you remember, and sisters as well, if I may invite also, remember those days when we first knew the Lord, when we were youth? For those of us, of course, who came to know the Lord when we were youth, do you remember how earnestly that you joined Bible studies, wanting to know Jesus more, and how we eagerly joined church activities, desiring more spiritual, godly Christian fellowship? How we enthusiastically served more, determined to draw closer to God the Father in worship. Remember those passion, desire, and determination? Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Now, for the young people amongst us, now is the time for you. Now is your youth. Now is the time you earnestly join Bible studies, eagerly join church activities, and enthusiastically serve in worship. Now is the time of your youth for you to remember your Creator. And verse 1 continues to say, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Verse 2 says, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. Now, friends, the days of evil will come. Days of trouble when you become concerned, worried, and anxious. Days when we get distracted and burdened with daily decisions and mundane routine that we no longer find pleasure in our lives. As it's written in verse 1, I have no pleasure in them. It might be too late for us if only during such times, such as crisis in our life, do we come quickly to pick up the Bible, to study and understand and memorize in order to find that peace and that direction in our life. In our trouble, we may fumble through the Bible distracted. Not that we cannot, but it will be much better if we prepared ahead of the trouble, and that is when you are young. It is akin to learning to swim only when you're drowning. When you're drowning, then you learn to swim, it will be too late. The days of evil are already upon you. The sunlight, moonlight, and starlight have darkened, and even after the rain, clouds return, threatening to rain some more. So, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. When you are young and able, begin training for those troubled days, darkened days, or rainy days. Be prepared. How do we be prepared? Remember who God is. Realize who God is. Know God and know His Word. Experience God and store up the memory of who He is. A cell group member recently bought a notebook in which she noted all the good things that God has done for her. And this is an excellent practice, so that in days of evil, dark, and rain, she can flip open the notebook and she can see all the wondrous things that she had encountered in Jesus. we can practice that too, so that we can remember the Creator in the days of our youth. Now Solomon continued and reiterated from verses 3 to 6, describing poetically different scenarios which meant the same as days of trouble and old age. For example, from the trembling of housekeepers, the bending of strong men, to the decrease in the number of grinders and workers in the field. In verse 4, from the shutting of doors and decrease in work, the lightness of sleep and decrease in music and song. In verse 5, from the increase of the fears and worries of life to the aging of trees and dragging of otherwise jumping grasshoppers, to the neglect and abandonment of desire, to the succumbing of life itself as man enters our eternal home in death. Verse 6 illustrates with the breaking down of silver cord, broken bowl, pitcher, and wheel. Now, this symbolizes the fragility of life, how they are broken, how easily death comes to us, how swiftly and unexpectedly that we can return to the dust, as written in verse 7. Therefore, we should recognize life as precious, to be used wisely, and not to be squandered frivolously. So remember the Creator in the days of your youth. For when days of failing health with sickness and disabilities come, and when we fail to remember God, we might be led into bitterness and loneliness and hopelessness. Fathers, that would also lead and cause your family into bitterness, loneliness, and hopelessness if you fail to remember God. Will your children and wife say that you are one who remember God? Are you one who will encourage and direct them to remain faithful in God? For a life centered in the remembrance of our Creator, who God is and what He has done, leads to the hope of eternal life. And that will help us as fathers to lead our family into the hope of eternal life. For when our wives and children see that their fathers remember our Heavenly Father and hold on to the hope we have in eternity, we help our wives and children to the same hope that they can have in our Heavenly Father through Christ. So remember the days, remember God in the days of your youth. Or if you haven't, then start now. Don't wait till later when days of trouble catch you unprepared. Now for young people, being young is exciting, but don't let the impulses and desire for passing pleasure steer you off the course of your relationship with God. You are only young once. Don't waste the strength of your youthful years on evil and meaningless activities that may become bad habits in your future. Seek God now when you are young, so in the days of trouble and old, you are swimming and not just learning to swim. My second point, fear God and keep His commandments. That is the whole duty of man. Now in Solomon's writing here in verses 9 and 10, Solomon addressed himself as the preacher, or in some other versions, the teacher. As a preacher or teacher, Solomon was the one who sought words of wisdom and proverbs, taught them to others, and wrote them all down. But here, he also differentiated himself from another person, and that is the shepherd in verse 11. As the preacher gathers and records and teaches the word of wisdom, these words of wisdom are given by the one shepherd who is God, the great shepherd of Israel. Verse 11 also says that these words given by the one shepherd are like goats. Now what's goats? G-O-A-D-S. Goats are pointed rods with which shepherds or farmers use to keep their cattle moving. Goats are used to poke at the cattle so that in pain, they will be guided to move in the right direction by the farmer or the shepherd. And in verse 12, the preacher, King Solomon, he warned of many other words out there. There was no end in the collection of writings in books, but not all of all these other writings were beneficial to us. Now, Solomon was really pointing out to his readers to take as priority the words given by the great shepherd, who is God. Indeed, today there are endless writings and books about life and philosophies collected over the centuries, each giving their opinions how we should live our lives. Now, it isn't wrong to read them, okay? But we should spend the majority of our time in reading God's Word. Because God's Word, as God's instructions for us, affects our living in this world and affects our eternity. As Christians, we should spend more time in the book that affects our eternal salvation and life rather than on others. So, fathers, what do your children see you read most of the time? I remember as a child growing up, I saw my father reading the newspapers most of the time. In fact, he was like a newspaper addict. If he didn't read the newspaper for one day, my father would feel very uneasy. He would tell me that. And when we returned home after days of overseas holidays, my dad would try to catch up all the reading of all the past issues of the newspapers that he had missed. But later on, as my father aged, I remember my father read a lot of Lee Kuan Yew's memoirs. And he had a few of those in his collection, different versions and editions, and he would read them in his spare time. But it was much later, when my father came to know Jesus, that when I saw him reading the Bible, I was moved to know that he desired to understand his newfound faith more. Fathers, would your children and wife say that the Bible is the book that you read most of the time? That doesn't mean that we totally disregard all other books. No, I don't mean that. But if the Bible is the word of life, then it is imperative that we read the Bible more than any other books in the world. For the reading of the Word of God draws us deeper into the mind and heart of God, that we will understand our Heavenly Father more. And when your children and wife see you having that intimate relationship with God through the reading of His Word, holding on to God's truth and promises, you would have inspired and led them to do the same. And we come to verse 13. Verse 13 is the main verse, not just of this sermon, this passage, or this chapter, but biblical scholars all agreed that verse 13 is the key sentence, the main idea, the chief instruction of the entire book of Ecclesiastes. I read for you verse 13. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The end of the matter, the crux of the debate, the conclusion of the discussion, the summarizing argument after all has been heard, is to fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Can you imagine, after 12 chapters of discussing the meaning and purpose of life, the searching for answers on work and pleasure, life and death, the preacher summarized that the whole crux of the matter, the final highlight, is to fear God and keep His commandments. And that is the meaning and purpose for us as Christians here on earth. To fear God, that means to adore Him, to worship Him, and to follow His teachings and His ways. That is our duty. For this is the whole duty of man. Whole, That means to be alive in this world, to be part of all mankind, to be a man. Yes, that's you, fathers, for you are men. That's our duty, not just duty, but whole duty, which means the complete and sole duty of man is this, to fear God and keep His commandments. And verse 14 ends with saying that we will one day stand before God in judgment for everything. Do you fear God? If you do, then we better check those times when we have those unkind words we sometimes accidentally slip from our lips in the spur of the moment, or maybe those selfish thoughts that contradict God's teachings. If we fear God, let us keep those in check. Do you keep God's commandments? If you do, then we have better check our lifestyles, habits, and practices. Is there anything in our lifestyle and practices that may not be glorifying to God? Fathers, do your children and wife know that you fear God and keep His commandments? Let's continue to work on that, eh? Now, in summary, so far, I talk about remembering your Creator in the days of your youth and fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. Let's talk about it and summarize, okay? Now, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. That means to be prepared ahead of time. Remember who God is, realize who God is, know God and know His word, experience God and store up the memory of who He is. Fathers, help your children and wife be prepared ahead of time too. Children and wives, come alongside your father and husband to prepare the family in remembering God. And this goes the same to all of us as children of God, to remember our Heavenly Father and stay close to Him before the days of trouble. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. In summary, let the Word of God goad you into the right direction. Let the Word of God be the book that you read more than any other. Fear God. In other words, know and realize how powerful God is, so that you will worship Him and keep His commandments and promises. Fathers, teach your children and your wife God's word. For only through God's word will they fulfill their whole duty of life together with you. Children and wives, come alongside your father and husband in fearing and worshiping God and in following His words for your family in your life. For all of us as children of God, that is the whole duty and purpose here on earth as we prepare for the eternal life with God. Now, I have a little personal reflection from my reading of this passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Well, I'll try to make sense of fatherhood. There's a little personal reflection and I'd like to share with you. Remember I told you from Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 9 that Solomon was addressing young men here in this passage? So even though there are timeless principles here that apply to all Christians in general, like for example, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 13 say the whole duty of man can be read as whole duty of all mankind, all right, including the ladies. But the primary audience, the primary context that Solomon wrote to during his time were young men. So if you excuse me for a moment, ladies, I'd just like to speak to the men for a few minutes here, all right? Let me address the men here. Now men, brothers, fatherhood is manhood. Only a man can be a father, right? So to be a father is to first be a man. All fathers are men, not all men are fathers. So if you are a father, but you do not know what your manhood is all about, you probably have a long way to go. But if you know that you are man and you know to be a man, you are halfway to being a good father. Why so? For a good father is the man of the household. A good father is the man to his wife. A good father is the man to his children. And once the children grows up, let's say the boys, the son, they become their own man. Will they follow your footsteps? Or if your children grow up, let's say the girls, your daughters, when they go and find their own man to marry, will that man that they marry be someone that takes after your footsteps, that they see you in them, that inspires them to fall in love with that man? Brothers, we only have these few years to impress upon our children. Otherwise, they will seek a father figure elsewhere. If the wife and children look up to a man as a good man, then he is a good father. So in my personal reflection, how do I make sense of being a good father? Is to first be a good man so that I can be a good father. And how to be a good man? Remember the Creator in the days of your youth. If you are faithful to Christ, then be faithful to your wife. For Christ is faithful to the church, as it was written in Ephesians. Christ is like the groom, and the church is like the bride. And Christ loved the church and gave himself up for the church. In the same way, love your wife. Be faithful to her. Remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Be firm in your promises to your wife and your children. For God, your Father, keeps his promises to you. To be a good man, fear the Lord and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Follow God's words. Lead your children to God's words. When children see you following God's words firmly, they will follow your words firmly. Raise your children in their spiritual ways. We had a very good opportunity during the recent circuit breaker when most of us work from home that we can spend time with our children. Did we use this time to teach our children spiritual ways? Don't just wait for Sunday school to do it for you. No, you are the first line to teach your children their spiritual ways. If you serve God, then serve your family. Giving to Christ and others, children will see an example to follow. They'll follow you as you read God's word. They'll follow you as you pray to God. They'll follow you as they see you worship God and how you even receive of the sacraments. They will follow you. So lead your children and your wife to Christ. Now I come back to you ladies, all right, for the rest of us, the ladies and the non-fathers, all right. There is this timeless principle of God's word which exceeds beyond those of the primary audience. So the primary audience are for men, young men, right? But the timeless principle in this passage exceeds beyond that of this primary audience. It means that we as God's children should also follow this as our whole duty too. But pushing further here, I'd like us to consider that God himself is the perfect father for us. God is the one who created fatherhood. He birthed us through his creation of mankind, man and woman. He created us in his image. He created marriage between man and woman. He created our children and our family. He set for our earthly fathers the perfect example to follow as a father to his children. And this means that even if our earthly fathers may not be the best model for fatherhood, we have an everlasting father, perfect in all his ways, whom we can call upon. And if our earthly fathers have yet to know God, let us pray for them. Pray that they will meet and know Jesus, that they will one day take the perfect example of the Heavenly Father and be the earthly fathers that they are called to be. I have some reflections that will be there on the church website. You can read them, pray along with them as you answer. Happy Father's Day. Let us pray. Dear God, I pray for the church. I ask, O God, that everyone will remember the Creator in the days of their youth. I pray, O God, that we will not procrastinate and we will not wait, but we will seek and be prepared even to remember you before trouble or evil days come. That we will store up the memory of you and to have this relationship with you. Fear the Lord and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. I pray for the church that we will learn to fear you, to see you in your majesty and glory, and to worship you and follow you. I pray for the fathers, as this is Father's Day. I pray that they will become better men of their household, the household that God you have placed them in. And I pray for everyone else that we will learn to pray for our earthly fathers, that they will remain faithful, that they will come to know Jesus, and that we will also live up our lives as in support as a family, as children, or even as wives, to come alongside the fathers as we worship our Heavenly Father. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.